Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
The road to Roland Garros continues on the red clay in Madrid. Welcome to TC Live as we get you caught up on all the biggest news and highlights from this massive combined 1,000-level event. A lot to discuss over the next half hour. A slew of major champions hit the Spanish clay on day two in the Magic Box. Guess which one of them isn't advancing to the next round? Last spring, Chris Eubanks started his ascent into the top 30. Lots of opportunity for the ranking to rise on the red dirt. We'll tell you what's at stake for Big Banks. And just how tenuous are Rafa Nadal's plans for the rest of the clay court season? Some tough news for the 14-time Roland Garros champ. Hear what he had to say. With that, we welcome you into our studios here in Santa Monica, California. Great to have you here with us. Steve Weissman back alongside Coco Vandeweghe. We got Hall of Famer Andy Roddick over on the big screen. Day two in the books, and we're making some history today. First time this trio is doing TC Live, Coco.
It's only trouble. It's only trouble. I mean, we know
good
it's
trouble,
coming.
Oh, as Nick Kyrgios would say.
I would say more bad trouble. I don't know.
Right. I can't speak for Coco, Steve, but you're like a human guardrail here. Anything could happen. Anything could be said.
All right. Dana White, like in between us, you know, holding us back, right?
Yeah, that's right. Hopefully, we'll see.
All right. I've never been compared to Dana White before, but you never know. TC Live could turn into UFC. We'll start with the spring of Sloane, which is underway after getting her first doubles title in Charleston. Sloane Stephens took the singles title in France on Sunday. Her eighth overall and first in more than 2 years, Sloane loves the clay and takes those winning vibes over to Madrid. The former Roland Garros finalist facing Martina Trevisan. Stephens trying to take her win streak to six in a row, Coco. This was a long, hard-fought battle.
No, and we knew it was going to be. Trevisan is one of those players that thrives on the dirt and makes every rally really long and really difficult. Trevisan wants to dictate with that forehand, getting it up and high, using the lefty aspect of her game. Sloane doing a good job of staying within these rallies, using her athleticism to counteract how high and heavy Trevisan is able to get the ball in these courts, in these conditions. Sloane losing the second set after serving for the match, but able to bounce back. As she said, she wants to use her athleticism out here, and everything really becomes even out on a clay court. So she's able to use and have time to find her forehand, start dictating from the middle of the court, which she does so well, and is what we have seen get her to the top of the game and hold a Grand Slam trophy, as well as getting to the finals of Roland Garros. So I expect to see some big things from Sloane on this clay court.
After the second set, she said, "I was going to die to win this match." She does so, spoke to Prakash after.
When you hit the clay, you know, a little switch goes on. What is it? Was it about the surface?
I don't know. Just the balls are slower. It gives you more time. Clay neutralizes everything. Like, you just have a chance on every ball. You can get your racket on every ball. I think it helps my athleticism a little bit. Gives me a little bit more room to run. The courts, I feel like, are a little bit bigger. Like, there's just more space. As you can see, like, the guys return, like, at the fence. Like, there's just so much happening. But, no, it's always suited my game really well. I grew up in Florida, so we always played on, like, green clay, and it was always fun. Like, it was always, like, a treat to be able to play on green clay because that was, like, nobody did that. So growing up, that was always really fun, and it just became something that really suited me in my game. And, yeah, I've loved it.
And the clay loves her. Naomi Osaka going for her first win on clay in 2 years, Andy. Says she's embracing the surface a lot more. Good first round against Greek Minnan.
Yeah, I can't see much with a shadow. I'm going to trust there's a player down there hitting the ball back and forth. Steve, but Osaka looked really good. And look at this, a front foot slide. That is fluency of movement, which I don't know that she had before her comeback. I thought Osaka looked great today. The serve is always there. This is a good clay court for her. The ball travels through the court. She's going to be able to shorten points. I think it's the fastest clay court of the season. The serve was getting through. And just in case we thought it was a fluke, the first time she had the front foot slide, Steve, she did it again. Said, I can do anything I set my mind to. Naomi Osaka, moving on.
Said, I'd like to win a tournament on clay. It would be very ironic, but also hilarious if my first tournament back would be to win on clay. We know Naomi Osaka has 4 Grand Slam titles to her name, Coco. They've all come on hard courts, 2 in New York, 2 in Melbourne. Why can't she be great on clay, though?
Well, it all has to do with the movement on clay, and we all know that it's really the longevity of the rallies that exposes your movement on the clay court. I know that personally. I was always hoping to be on the fastest clay court possible, and then hopefully it would turn into a grass court or a hard court to really help me out. But for Naomi, it's always going to be difficult for her to come back and to match and match again now in this new journey of her career. It's always going to be interesting to see how her body holds up time and time again. We saw that a little bit through the Australian Open swing, how she was able to bounce back with just a one-day rest. So we'll definitely see if she can do back-to-back matches, altitude, Madrid. That's never easy.
Yeah, Andy, you talked about that a little bit during the highlight, but go a little deeper about why Madrid is so good for her.
Yeah, well, there's a couple of things, right? She's certainly capable anywhere. And also, clay does nothing for her game naturally, right? She hits it flat through the court. That slows up a bit. Her movement in and out of the corners is dynamic. I was kind of a mover that did a lot better on hard courts, could get in and out of the corners. Not so much on clay. That first split step after a return, it's always a little tricky. But the ball does fly through the air in Madrid. It's thinner air. There's a little bit of altitude. Not as much rain in that region. So if she is going to make a mark, I think this is probably her best prospect to go deep in a big tournament, Masters 1000, going into Roland Garros.
And she's got that front foot slide on point right now. Takes on Ludmila Samsonova next. Meantime, Emma Raducanu gets a wild card into Madrid, taking on a qualifier from Argentina, Coco. This was a shocker.
This was definitely Emma getting outclassed on the clay court, going up against a Argentine clay court specialist, using her forehand, moving the court in different ways of what clay courters can do. They can go short up into the service box, make you run forward, and then hit you deep. But it was really just such a forehand battle from Maria, and she was winning it time and time again. But really, her speed was what was so impressive out there, how she was able to move back off of the baseline, but quickly back forward. That's what clay courters do so well. They don't give up position easily, and that's how they can turn defense into offense time and time again.
Carlay played at Georgia for 1 year before going pro, broke Raducanu 6 times in this match to get her first main draw win at this level since 2022, and does it 2-2 against the former U.S. Open champ. On the men's side, Gael Monfils making his 13th appearance in Madrid. Had runs to the quarterfinals on both the indoor hard in 2008, on clay in 2010, Andy. Rough one today against the Italian Luciano Dardari.
Yeah, and all credit to Dardari. He came out and was just pounding the corners over and over. Had more pop in a serve than maybe I knew. Was hitting that flat one wide, which is the toughest serve to hit consistently in. And, you know, it was certainly not the most enthused I've ever seen Gael on a court. Normally that kind of whimsical smile wasn't quite there today, but Dardari was clear with what he had to do, clear with execution. And listen, beating Gael Monfils convincingly on this service, there's that serve out wide again. That's not an easy serve to get that type of angle on. He looked great today. He went out and took it to Monfils.
First Masters 1000 win in his second main draw appearance. Big one for the Italian. How about Chris Eubanks hoping to pick up his first clay court win this season, taking on Botic van de Zanschel?
Yeah, and you see Eubanks is just trying to find something that works, right? His stock game is not getting into long rallies. His stock game is not, you know, the nuances of a clay court. He wants it to be shortened points. I think he won less than 50% of his first serve points in the first set. That is not going to work ever, and much less on a clay court. And this is where van de Zanschel pretends like he wasn't going at him with that volley, but just made Banks move, right? Even there, you see he's only moving 2 feet to the right, and he's getting to that kind of choppy forehand. The movement just wasn't fluid. I can relate. Mine never was either. But this was one-way traffic, Steve.
EVDZ only dropping 4 points on his first serve. Broke Eubanks four times. He is moving on in straight sets. So let's take a look at what is at stake for Big Banks. These are the points he has through Wimbledon to defend. 80 at the challenger level. Picked up 20 in Geneva. Just 10 at Roland Garros. 32 Stuttgart Halle. But then won the title in Mallorca. Quarterfinals at Wimbledon. So some big results on grass last season. But I also see, Coco, some big opportunity on clay this season. What do you make of that?
Well, I think it's going to be big opportunities, but whether or not Chris can actually achieve those big opportunities is another question, and I don't think he does quite have the answer as of yet. I think if there was ever an opportunity, it was going to be at Madrid, where the conditions do suit the bigger hitters, bigger servers. Now, it's always going to be daunting having all those points at Wimbledon, but if he can sneak maybe around at Roland Garros or around at Rome, just getting lucky here or there, I mean, it's going to take some luck for Eubanks to be able to get a couple wins under his belt, because you can just see in those examples of the highlights at Madrid, he's really uncomfortable out there. He doesn't really move that well a couple steps here or there. He's just got to commit to his game. It's a serve and volley game. It's a serve and come in. Put pressure on your opponents time and time again and see if they can stand up to the challenge and just say, hey, this is my game on a clay court. It's on a hard court. It's on a grass court. It's what you're going to get. Let's see if you can beat me at my A game.
Andy?
Yeah, and listen, we don't have to have the opinion that he doesn't like playing on clay. His schedule last year, when he wasn't getting into 1,000s, he went over and played a bunch of hardcore challengers over in Asia and gave himself one tournament before Roland Garros going in. So that's a tell, right? I was one who stacked my schedule away from the clay as well. But now when you get to a certain ranking, you have to go play these Masters 1000. So maybe less than ideal as far as winning matches on a surface he doesn't like, playing this portion of the year in the main draw for the first time. But I think, it's just a matter of your verbiage. You use the term opportunity. I think his coaches should go with that too.
Hit it. Big opportunity. Glass half full. I always see it that way. From one Tennis Channel member to another, Taylor Townsend in action as well in Madrid today. Big time matchup. Riding a career high on her road to Roland Garros. See how she did in her main draw singles debut in Madrid. Tay-Tay against the Super Teen.
Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at newbalance.com.
Hello, tennis fans. I'm Fox weather meteorologist Britta Merwin, and here's tomorrow's Madrid Open forecast in Madrid, Spain. Cloudy skies with temperatures in the 60s. Remember, you can download the Fox Weather app or stream Fox Weather from your favorite connected TV device.
Thank you, Britta. We've got you covered on T2 Thursday. Matches starting at 8 a.m. Eastern. Take a look at this. Sloane Stephens right back in action against Elisa Mertens. The young American Alex Mickelson taking on the even younger Brazilian Fonseca in action. You want to see that one. That's a good match. Marcos Garon playing Emma Navarro, taking on Nadia Podoroska as well. Now, that all leads into second serve on T2, 11 a.m. Eastern. Some incredible guests, both in studio and out, joining the crew on Thursday for all the fun and games. We've got Hall of Famer Tracy Austin back in the mix with Nick Monroe and Jeff Chisover to take you through all of that action. Back to Madrid we go. Tanasi Kokkinakis came through qualifying here, took out Dominic Thiem 1-3, but the competition got even tougher today, Andy, against Jack Draper.
Yeah, and Draper was playing pretty patient. I was wondering where he was going to kind of establish himself from a court positioning perspective, but standing way back on second serve returns, taking that heavy forehand. But credit to Kokkinakis for hanging in there. There have been some questions about Draper deep in matches. You can get at his legs, and I think he was kind of on his way to doing that. But this was a great stick save by Draper. You know I love a good stick save.
Yeah, you
good
do.
Good passing shot. And this little sneaky Magoo here that Draper pulls off after this good return. Watch this. This is very Stepanek-esque. Kind of hold it for a second. Sneak in, finish with the volley. I love that play. great call on match point, and you can see the relief. Kokkinakis, heck of an effort, but Draper moving on.
Quick shot of revenge against Hubie Hurkacz, who took the Brit out in a third set tiebreak in Monte Carlo a couple of weeks ago. Caroline Wozniacki, 113 in the live rankings, Coco, looking to get inside the top 100 for that direct entry into Roland Garros, but tough first round against the former Madrid semifinalist, Sarah Rani.
No, this was definitely a big match for Caro to try and get into that main draw of Roland Garros. This first set was really all Caroline Wozniacki's way, breaking Rani at will. But this second set was where Wozniacki really let Rani start hitting those high moon balls and make this match ugly. And when you're on clay, playing a clay quarter, you don't want to get into the ugly tennis that they can provide out there. And how she was doing it was whipping that forehand up high into Wozniacki's backhand and then being able to drive it. And this is the yips on the serve for Rani. We know it happens. Underhand serve facing match point. I mean, I hope to never have the yips in anything in my life as bad as Sarah Rani has the yips on that serve.
And yet in the end, she is able to pull this out on her second match point. Wozniacki has not won a match on red clay since 2018. Rani has now won 8 of her last 10 on this surface. A couple of former top five players going at it there. Taylor Townsend trying to pick up her fourth top 50 win of the season. Work her way into the top 50 herself for the first time, taking on 16-year-old Mira Andreeva.
Now, I loved how Taylor came out in this first set, really using her game to her best assets, hitting the ball, coming forward into the net, taking on Mira time and time again. But this second set, Taylor had too many unforced errors, too many quick mistakes. I don't mind unforced errors from Taylor Townsend's racket. It's going to happen, but it's how quickly they come off of there. If it's happening within the first two balls, that's no good for Taylor Townsend. And this third set was a really big battle. You could see Mira getting nervous and then Taylor getting nervous. And this was just a catalyst of something you can't teach. Mira passing Taylor Townsend there at the net at such a tight scoreline and able to serve it out when she thought she was down and out. And I couldn't believe it myself, the heart that that teenager showed.
Remember, Andreeva made the fourth round here last year. It was her big breakthrough tournament. Got her into the top 100, and we saw what she did at Wimbledon and so on and so forth. And she added Conchita Martinez to her team as well, which is huge. But for Taylor Townsend, Andy, what did this result show you, and how do you think she will do on the rest of the road to Roland Garros?
Yeah, I hope it doesn't discourage her. I think it was a decently played match. You know, when I look at Andreeva at a young age, it's always hard physically. And for her, she doesn't look like she gets tired. Like, that's a weird thing at such a young age and in such a physical match. And you look at what she's able to, what her output is, the way she's able to switch directions, move around the court, her kind of, ability to make decisions. And then the camera pans to Conchita Martinez and you're going, yeah, this is going to work. This makes sense to me.
Coco, you called this match for Taylor Townsend. What stood out to you and what good things can she use going forward?
Well, I think what she does so well is off of that serve. She's able to start dictating the points really early. But what she gets away from is just the consistency aspect of that first ball after serve. If you have a good serve where you can get people out and away on the courts, you have to take care of that first ball. You can't give free airs. And I think that's what Taylor needs to knuckle down on and what she has done so well to give herself the best opportunities of going deep at these tournaments. And I think Taylor shouldn't be discouraged at all. I think this is a good stepping stone. She's got a lot more matches here on the red clay. She has had really good success. I mean, winning Roland Garros as a junior, those things don't go away. You always feel comfortable at those courts. And once you start winning, those losses go to the wayside. You forget about them very quickly. So it just takes one match, and I think Taylor will find her footing out there on the red clay.
And made the semifinals in doubles here last year, so certainly we'll have more doubles to play and get her feeling on this surface going forward. Let's take a look at some other results from Madrid today. A couple nice wins for American Shelby Rogers and Caroline Dalahad. What else stands out to you, Coco?
Oh, I think Robin Montgomery, that's another American coming out there and winning. She's been trying to climb the rankings, a tough one for Anna Samova. She's trying to battle back, but I think it's a good results from a few Americans out there. Just that's always what we like to see, a couple of wins from the Americans on the red dirt.
Tough one for Paula Badosa. Hopefully fully healthy despite that loss. Still to come, you may not believe what Rafa Nadal had to say about his chances of playing Roland Garros this year. But first up, we will break down his match against an American teenager. How charming is that? Andy, Coco, Steve back on TC Live wrapping up day two in Madrid. And the five-time champ, Rafa Nadal, back in Spain getting ready for his first match since falling to Alex de Minaur in Barcelona. Nadal is unseated in Madrid for the first time since 2004. Since 2004, get that. Owns the most tournament wins and titles in history. Now, in his pre-tournament press conference, Rafa was asked about his chances to play Roland Garros. Said, if I arrive in Paris the way I feel today, I will not play. I will play Roland Garros if I feel competitive. If I can play, I play. If I can't play, I can't. It won't be the end of the world or the end of my career. I still have goals after Roland Garros, like the Olympics. Andy, what's your reaction to that?
Obviously he would know better than us, Steve, but I will say that Rafa has always been a master of kind of undersell, over-deliver, right? I mean, I remember him in his prime going into Roland Garros. He would draw, you know, some chucker first round and say like, well, I don't know if I can get through this first match. Everyone has a chance. And like, there's like this much chance, right? So he is like the king of underselling, over-delivering. I would be stunned if it's not a health issue, I see him playing. Like, there's no reason why the draw breaks the right way. He can get through the first couple of rounds. He can play himself into competitiveness, right? Like, so I like the Olympics. I like the post Roland Garros thing, but I feel like I'm taking crazy pills if Roland Garros isn't the number one priority.
So does that, Coco, mean to you, okay, I'm good enough to play 2 out of 3, but I'm not good enough to play 3 out of 5 right now?
Well, it certainly can mean that, because we have seen that Rafa has been struggling not only match after match, but, you know, tournament after tournament, just to be able to show up, be able to play. And as we know, Rafa is the ultimate champion. He doesn't want to show up and lose to anybody out there, no matter what his level is, what his health is. And that is why he has won as many Grand Slams as he has. He has the utmost kind of platform and ceiling for himself, no matter where he is on the spectrum of health or tennis reps. And he is also a guy that needs that kind of tennis reps. He needs the time on the practice court to feel comfortable. And as Andy would probably know better than anyone, you get out there three out of five against Rafa, that is going to be torture for anybody. You can't, it's hard to put your money anywhere else but Rafa in 3 out of 5 at Roland Garros on Philippe Chatrier. That's just, he's almost, you know, undefeated out there.
Yeah, over the past 2 decades. I mean, that was the toughest test in sports, in my opinion. He will be playing Madrid, and he will be playing a young American in Darwin Blanche, a 16-year-old. By the way, got done dirty. Somebody screenshotted his Snapchat. You don't do that, but this was on his Snapchat. He said, guys, I play Nadal, WTF, crazy stuff, Andy. He wasn't even born when Rafa had already won Roland Garros 3 times. I mean, that's insane. 21 years, 117-day age gap, largest ever in a Masters 1000 match. You see the difference in career wins. But what do you think of this matchup, Andy?
I think Rafa on clay is a tough one for anyone that's 16 years old. And listen, this court is jumpy. He's going to see a ball come in heavier than he's seen before. One of the things that we talked about on the podcast this week is this Darwin Blanche trains with Alcaraz regularly. So he has seen what top level tennis looks like. He has seen the speed with which it is played. You know, if I'm Blanche's coach, I'm going, okay, listen, this isn't the Rafa, you know, from 5 years ago. This is Rafa who's struggling, who's not going all out on serves right now. There are some physical concerns. I don't know. I'm trying to, you know, sell ice to someone who's already cold. But you know, you're trying to present in a way where it's not as intimidating, but at the end of the day, win, lose, draw, whatever, this is just a really cool experience for a young player. And deep down, I'm sure he'd love to win a match here. I'm also sure 30 years from now, he's going to say, you know what? I got to play Nadal on clay. That's pretty cool.
No, I honestly couldn't agree more that he will definitely relish this experience. And I think every young player has gone through their lumps of playing an ultimate legend out there if they are lucky enough, and just to enjoy the experience, not let it overwhelm you. And that's something that can happen so quickly. I know going out on Arthur Ashe Stadium against Serena Williams, I was like, what am I going to do? I've already lost before I stepped out onto the court sometimes. And you don't want that feeling to happen too quickly. And I think Ulysses will have at least a good opportunity, better than most, I should say, because of what he is facing. He's not facing the Rafa's prime as Andy has said, he's facing a Rafa that is on his way out of this game, sadly enough. So let's see if you can get that scalp. I mean, end your career and have, at the end of the day, not only playing Rafa, but maybe getting a win. That's something to hang your hat on.
Darwin Blanche, WTF. What the forehand, I believe, is what he was referencing there with Nadal. 11 a.m. Eastern right here on Tennis Channel. You can see that one go down. As Rafa said, it won't be the end of his career if he doesn't play Roland Garros, because Nadal has already committed to play the Laver Cup this fall in Berlin. Andy, what'd you think of that?
I was surprised to see the announcement until I thought about it, right? Like, you don't have to be super physically prepared. You can play doubles. We have seen the retirement double situation before, not too long ago, with a guy named Federer. What I'm interested in is, if it is doubles, who are they going to pair him with, Steve? Who are they going to bring out?
Who's going to show up?
This is complete conspiracy at this point, but listen, Rafa was about to have his first kid, and he made a little trip over to play with Roger one last time. Mm-hmm. Just saying.
Ooh, I like that conspiracy theory. I'm buying a ticket for that one. That's definitely going to sell the tickets. I mean, Roger being part owner in this whole deal, we could see it done.
Do you think, Coco, this is going to be like a Federer situation where this may be the last event for Nadal?
It certainly could be, and I think that's what these two legends have really looked forward to, is having everyone have that last experience of their games and what they have brought, and also for them to enjoy those last few moments with their fans. And I think that's so important in order to experience and to finish on your own terms. That's something that every athlete wants to have, not be forced out of the game without it, them saying, okay, I'm ready to hang up the rackets.
Yeah, I absolutely love this. By the way, Laver Cup, once again, only on Tennis Channel here in the States. So looking forward to seeing Rafa back in action in Berlin this fall. Thursday on Tennis Channel, it all starts 5 a.m. Eastern. We got Second Serve on T2. We got TC Live with the three of us at 3 Eastern tomorrow. Encore coverage all night long. Back to preview Thursday's matches next. Back on TC Live, looking at our featured matches on Thursday. Got some good ones. Naomi Osaka in action. Coco Gauff taking on Arantxa Rus. Got that big one between Rafa Nadal and Darwin Blanche, plus world number one Iga Swiatek. For more on these matches, let's head back to our desk in Madrid with Danny and Prakash.
All right, Steve, back at our FanDuel desk. P, we're going to see the American Coco Gauff in action here in Madrid going up against Arantxa Rus. Do you think she'll get off to a hot start here in Madrid?
I think so. I think as long as she's got her serve under control, not easy in this altitude if you're not feeling tremendously confident, especially on the second where you really want to accelerate after it. But assuming she's got that under control, I think she's going to come through pretty comfortably. Rus doesn't have a great record against top 10 opponents, so I'm back in the American.
Excited to see some of the seeds in action here in Madrid.
All right, thanks so much. A new career high is possible for Coco Gauff this week. Could get to number two unless Aryna Sabalenka makes the semifinals. How do you think the Madrid altitude and all that will play out for Coco Gauff?
Well, I think there's a big question in Coco Gauff's game coming into the clay court season. As much as we've seen success out of her game, this start of this season hasn't been the best. Yes, she has gotten the wins and she has gone deep in tournaments, but it's not the same success and the same way that she has won in previous times. We've seen that forehand breakdown more than ever. We've seen players go after it more than ever. And it's also the serve that is breaking down, which is concerning when it comes to altitude, because when you are serving in altitude, you have to be even more aggressive on your serve. And it's not by placement. It's more by racket head speed and leg drive. And if you are nervous and not feeling comfortable with your serves, that is the first thing to go. And that needs to be accentuated on fast altitude courts.
Right. Andy, you've worked on that serve. So what are your expectations for Coco here?
Yeah, listen, the forehand and the ability to access it is a direct result of how she's serving, right? If she's making big first serves, then her first look at a forehand is normally inside the court, right? And she breaks enough, even, you know, with the forehand, if she's just making it on the day and running around, she breaks enough. I do believe she will be a dominant server. I think she's kind of working stuff out in real time. But Coco Vandeweghe is exactly right about Coco Gauff. Listen, if she serves, you know, 60% first serves in, and you look at the pace and it's up, she's one of the best three players in the world. When that's not landing the way it should be, I think there's some separation with Rybakina, Sabalenka, and Swiatek. So I do think it's kind of dependent on especially that first serve, because if that's rolling, it's like a pressure release valve for the second serve and absolutely for the forehand side.
Coco Gauff and Elena Rybakina, both shots to get to number two by the end of this week. It's going to be a big day three in Madrid. Coco Gauff in action. Iga Swiatek, of course, Rafa Nadal taking on the 16-year-old. Darwin Blanche cannot wait for that one. This trio will be back with you as well. Thanks for watching TC Live. The action from Madrid continues next.